I Really Can't Stay by Sabine, read by Viluta. I really can't stay, baby, it's cold outside. I've got to go away, baby, it's cold outside. The evening has been, I've been hoping that you'd drop in. So very nice, I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice. Christmas song, traditional. The hen celebrates its first birthday alone. It was born on Christmas in the United Kingdom, which it now calls home. And in Cardiff on Christmas Eve, it has a little party for itself in its jar in the dark. It remembers the doctor, and it dances its fingers when no one is watching. The doctor spent Christmas alone too, in his TARDIS, which the hen only remembers as a series of vague, sort of infantile snapshots. The doctor's new hen still resonates with the same frequency as a severed one does, but over the year, distance and time have made the vibrations fainter. And there have been long months when the hen couldn't sense its replacement brother at all. This Christmas, the doctor must be close by, because the old hen feels it when the new one clenches into a fist, and the hen feels it when the doctor punches his TARDIS console, and when he grips the throttle, and when he throws himself around the cabin with the manic energy the hen remembers. The doctor, like a drunken parent, fills the hen with fear, and the hen is happy, if happy is an emotion it is capable of possessing, when the doctor flies out of range, and the hen is alone in the quiet again. The next day is Christmas, and no one comes into the hub until well nigh into the afternoon. Jantu flicks on the lights at 3:30, and starts a pot of coffee even though no one else is around. I see you've been busy, Jantu says to the hand, after checking the previous night's activity log in the monitors. Quite a bit of circulation going on this morning, eh? Good thing I stopped by to feed you. The hand, which in its current form lacks a mouth or vocal cords, doesn't say anything. More exciting than my Christmas, Jantu goes on. I was asleep before midnight. Apparently we missed a proper adventure, you and I. Giant spiders landed in London, or so the reports say. The hen still doesn't say anything. The vents start bubbling, which means Jantu's turned on the CO2 scrubbers, and so the hen wiggles its fingers and plays in the bubbles. The tiny hairs on the back of the hen shimmy in the fluid goo. Jantu sprinkles the hen's meal of amino acids and vitamins into the jar, gets his coffee and goes back to his work, and doesn't say much, and eventually he leaves the hub, and the hen is alone in the dark again. The day after that is Boxing Day, and the work day, and the day the doctor comes back. Tosh, I need that sample sequenced, Jack orders, as Jantu turns on the lights and unlocks the doors, and the whole hub purrs to life. Toshiko comes and sits at her computer, and Gwen and Owen make their way down to the medical bay for their morning snog, and Jack locks himself in his office and sets the hen's jar on his desk. I don't know what to say to you right now, Jack says after a long moment, nodding a couple times, sort of wistfully. He picks up the phone and starts talking to someone about asphalt samples and silk cabling, and the hen flexes in its goo and sucks up the last stretches of protein floating on the surface. Jack hangs up. Outside, beyond the glass, Owen is putting on his coat and stuffing the pockets with medical implements to take back to his lab, and from the far scaffolding, Gwen has her chin in her hand, and she's watching. Jack makes two fists and leans back in his chair and fixes his eyes on the hand. You were here, not 150 miles away, and I waited for you. Now the hand can feel the doctor again, and it wants to tell Jack that the doctor is still here, close by, but it is afraid, and so it just bobs in its suspension and lets Jack continue. I waited, Jack says again. Heard on the scanner about a mysterious blue box carrying traffic on the M4, and I went straight to the rift and waited, because you said you'd come back for me. The hand bobs. Somewhere it can feel the doctor's new hand dancing across the TARDIS controls, and its fingers twitch. It feels the doctor's blood pulsing through it, feels the motion of the TARDIS suspended somewhere in the air, 50, maybe 100 miles away, no more. like he came back for something, and the hand lets itself think maybe the doctor came back to reclaim it, and is scared again. And it's as if Jack knows, or can sense it, because he reaches out and flips open the safety latches that hold the jar shut, and sets the lid on his desk. The hand swims to the surface and feels the cool air of the hub on its fingertips. Jack reaches in, twines his fingers through the hands, and pulls the hand out of its goo. The hand, warming against Jack's palm, waits for orders that it knows won't come. There is exactly one reason the hand wants to see the doctor again, and even that reason scares it. The hand, having been severed during the regeneration process, is still made up of undifferentiated stem cells, and it keeps its hand form because so far, no brain has told it otherwise. The hand can take any form it wants, and it knows it, but Jack doesn't, yet, and so the hand will remain a hand. Jack presses his other palm to the back of the hand and holds it there, a 15-fingered embrace. The hand feels warm and safe. "I'm going to figure you out," Jack says, stroking a finger down the back of the hand, leaving a trail of tiny raised hairs and goose flesh. There's a knock at the door, and the hand feels Jack tense, caught and embarrassed, the way he gets when people ask about the jar, or the rift, or the doctor. He rests all three hands on his knees, tucked under the desk, and says, "Come in." It's Gwen, the one who looked the hand up on the hub's computer and tried 8 different password combinations before the system locked her out. "Jack?" Her eyes light on the empty jar, and a thin spittle of goo that runs from the lip of the jar to its lid, sitting face up on the desk, and as quickly she looks away and meets Jack's eye. "Sorry to interrupt," she says hurriedly. "Owen's found some evidence that suggests the spider that attacked London may have evolved on this planet. Giant alligators in the sewers, cockroaches that can eat Miami, that sort of thing?" Jack asks. "Interesting theory, but I doubt it. That creature was alien and ancient, older than we are, older than the Earth itself." Gwen furrows her brow and leans on the door jamb. "Yeah?" she asks. All white Welsh vowels. "Can you be certain, given that there's nothing about these creatures on record?" The hand feels Jack's palms closing around it, squeezing, frustrated. "I'm sure," Jack says. "Trust me." Gwen does, and the hand even knows the name Ragnos, an old, ancient name that makes the doctor himself tremble. Ragnos, the hand thinks, trying to be helpful. The Ragnos. "Okay, then," says Gwen. "I'll leave you to it." She turns to go, but she's been around the hub long enough that her early attempts at decorum have passed, and so she stops before she leaves and turns around again. "Jack?"
"Yeah?"
She nods towards the jaw. "That hand, what's it for?" Jack waits a long moment before sliding his arms out from under the desk and holding his 3 dripping hands up to show Gwen. His strong fingers are twined through the hands, fingertips pressing into the backs of the knuckles, and the hot blood pulse of 3 stacked palms. "It's kind of like a souvenir," says Jack, finally. "Reminds me of someone I used to know a long time ago." Gwen nods like she understands. "Someone you lost?" she presses gently. "In a sense," says Jack, and the hand feels the TARDIS engine start again. And as the doctor wraps his hand around the TARDIS throttle, the hand vibrates in Jack's, and Jack squeezes to stop the trembling. He holds a finger to his mouth and kisses the tip. "Well," Gwen concludes, "I hope you find him." "So do I," says Jack, and now Gwen leaves. Jack peels one of his hands away, and he puts the tip of the hand's index finger to his lips again and kisses it, and closes his eyes. "You didn't come," he says. "I'm right here," the hand thinks. The TARDIS purrs, and the doctor remembers, and the hand remembers, and the doctor hangs for a moment over the Powell estate in London, and his palms sweat, and then he's gone. Jack puts the hand, carefully, back in the jar and screws the lid on tight. "I won't wait for you next time," Jack says, getting up. It isn't true, and Jack knows it, but it doesn't matter, because everybody waits for the doctor, even though in most cases the doctor never comes. Owen, let's see what you've got. And then Jack is gone, and the hand is alone again, trapped in a form it despises, brought about by an angry god who will return some day to claim what is his, and who will take the hand from Jack forever. If Jack would let the hand speak, the hand would say, I want to stay with you. But if Jack ever figures out he has the power to let the hand speak, the hand knows it'll be all wheres and wherefores, because Jack wants to say the same thing to the doctor himself. Love's a bitch, thinks the hand, and that night, after everyone else is gone, Yanto comes into Jack's office and takes the jar and wipes it down, sprinkles in some food, and returns the jar to its position on the shelf. Ours is a weird existence, says Yanto, before switching off the lights and leaving and locking the door behind him. It's a long time, and a new year, before anyone speaks to the hand again. And so it sits, mostly forgotten, and waits for Christmas, and for the doctor, and for the day Jack realizes what he has. The end.